Hey, my friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. We're going to bring you guys the latest world news and health research today.
You still didn't get it right.
I changed it up.
Do I need to write this down for you?
I don't like keeping the same. You got to change it up. It gets monotonous, and then people think that it might be a rerun.
Hey, we're live.
Now you know it's not a rerun.
And watch this. I've already got GHI in here.
What do you throw, a purple stick in there?
I'm going to throw a purple stick in there. Hand me some of that powdered multiple.
No, multiple?
Yeah, powder. Right there. You know, that's really, you're blessed that didn't hit my glass and knock it over.
I wouldn't have knocked it over. I'm better than that. I'd slide it to the end of the table. I do it all the time.
Play that little football game.
Yeah.
Do you have a scooper for this or just my imagination?
No, there should be a scooper in there somewhere. So, I hope you guys are staying strong and healthy, and be sure to check out a lot of the different shows we have on thebrowershow.com. I've told you guys that before. Rainbow food dyes are draining. This is an interesting thing we put up here for yesterday's show. We talked about it in detail. Finally, the first time since, well, I guess this stuff came out in the 60s or 70s, we're finally making leeway on getting food coloring out of the food supply.
This is Kennedy.
This is Kennedy. This is a big deal. I thought this is a big win yesterday. So far, the FDA looks like they're banning two major food colors, and then basically the other ones are going to have to be phased out. Give me that multiple powder.
There you go.
Close. Because, we talked about it so much on how bad this stuff is for you. And what's crazy to me about it is that we finally are actually getting some leadway. So we talked about it in detail yesterday on the show. Be sure to check it out at Team Health Masters and get the truth out there every single day to your friends and family all across the country. Because this is the article up yesterday. Yeah, two artificial food dyes are getting banned and plans to eliminate the rest. And this is a huge, huge deal. As Kennedy said yesterday, the toxic supersynthetic chemicals that our children and all of us are being subjected to has to stop. At some point in time, we've got to ask ourselves a question. Are we becoming better, healthier, or sicker and worse from these compounds that are added to the food?
Nah, this is sloppy on my part. Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy.
You filled the glass up pretty good. It overflows. Are you talking about? Or is it the mess around it?
No, it has nothing to do with the mess around it.
Oh, okay.
I have an article I want you to put up for me, but I haven't sent it to you yet.
You can send it to me.
Who did I send this to? And I don't think I've got your email in here.
You can send it to my regular one.
Ozzy? Okay.
Yeah. Why is it so? You should have sent it to me before the show?
I can text it to you very easily.
I'm not on my phone, man. Wants to text me stuff. While I'm on the show. I don't like to be on my phone on the show because
Austin at healthmasters.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the reason I want you to pull this up for me. Klaus Schwab's WEF, Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan replacement revealed, and he's even more evil than Klaus Schwab.
There you go. Well, I knew he wasn't going to step down without putting something.
No, you got to pull this up for me. You got to see this picture.
All right, stand by.
Okay. And, it's interesting because, there's a guy out there. His name is, what's his name? David, he's the guy from David Icke.
David Icke.
And he says these basically these things that run the planet take on human form, and they have to basically morph into something different, and it takes a lot of
David. You got to take what David Icke says. Those
I agree with about 80% of what Icke
says. That much?
Yeah, I do. He gets a B with me, B minus, but nevertheless a B. Hey, B's not bad.
B's not bad, but some stuff's pretty wild.
B's still a 3.0, man. It's good.
B's get you into graduate school your choice.
A's and B's do.
A's and B's. Got me a 3.01.
Okay, now this is interesting. He's going to pull a picture up for you.
I don't. You didn't send me anything, bud.
Yeah, I did. I sent it to Austin at Health Masters. I'll hold my screen up then. This is enough. I'm not going to play this game.
Not going to play this game?
No, it's a bad game to play on the morning show.
Well, yeah. You should
I know. No, that's sloppy. Klaus Schwab's WEF replacement revealed he's even more evil. As we highlighted, Klaus Schwab is the cartoon villain who ran the World Economic Forum.
The cartoon villain.
Okay. So the question arose, with the Davos Bond villain, who's going to replace him? And now we've got this guy. Now, if this guy is non-human.
Has he got a fake eye?
Nope. That's his eye.
Well, why is it so red?
Yep. It's his eye. Now, therefore, now I don't have to basically, God, I've got this guy blown.
No, and I got it.
Oh, you got it now?
I just got it.
See, I told you I sent it to you.
Slow.
And basically, here's what it says. It says, Peter Beck Lamont has been appointed interim. Okay, put it up here. Put his picture up here. Right here. Okay. Rich, go to the screen for just about a second or so. give me screen four. Okay, we're done with that. Give me my camera back. Okay, now this guy is the new guy coming in to head run the board here.
Cartoonishly now, evil.
All right, he says, his eye isn't always like that. Just on this day, he was struggling to maintain his human form. That's what the article says.
Gosh.
Now, David Icke didn't write this. Yeah, you know how the former WEF chair, Klaus Schwab, looked cartoonishly evil? Well, somehow they found a guy even more cartoonishly evil to replace him. And so introducing this guy. Now, this is a guy who said that basically water should not be a human right.
Humans have no right to access free water, was a quote from him in 2017.
It should be basically a commodity that's sold, so you have to basically, you know, pay for the air that you breathe. Notice he says humans.
It does say humans, you're right.
That's us. That's not him. There's something else.
It doesn't say everyone has no right or people. It says humans. He specifically has to use the term humans.
So do you think that he's basically a possessed individual? I'd have to go with a yes on that, in my opinion. And water is a privilege. You know, Klaus Schwab says we need to eat more bugs.
Here's 2005. He said to declare that as a human being, you have a right to water is an extreme solution. Like any other foodstuff, water should have a market value.
That's right. And well, that's what they have to do, right? When you water your yard, it should be X amount of dollars right per. Yeah, I know.
Was it German?
Well, I understand this, but nobody else.
Understands. So there's no reason for that. Yes, basically, you know, water needs to have a value to it. Water needs to be a commodity. Nobody needs to be able to have access to water.
All I want to do is, you know, sometimes I'm not a very good Christian. I'm not. I just want to slap him. Isn't that awful?
Sometimes violence is always the answer.
Always? Not always. Sometimes violence may have to be used, but it's not always the answer.
Sometimes it's always the answer.
I hope not. The not-so-friendly Luciferian Kabbalist Synagogue of Satan board members of the World Economic Forum. I'm going to send this article out to you guys. You guys can read it. And it's kind of interesting how they talk about this. And it's all about the Great Reset scam and the opportunity to completely change the world. You know, and some of the great quotes are, a reset of our economic and social foundations is possible. There's a good reason to vary. The world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies. I got to get rid of the German accent. No one's understand me either. Every country from the United States to China must participate in every industry from oil tech. This is when they wanted to. This is the DEI stuff. It all came from them. The pandemic represents one of the worst public health crises in history. However, we must build entirely new foundations from our economic and social systems.
There you go.
Okay. And so then it starts listing everybody who's here. Now, these are the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan bunches. Leo Raphael Reif, Rubenstein, Mark Benioff, this clown. I could do the whole thing on this. Larry Fink. Then it just lists a whole bunch of these guys. I'm not going to go into detail on all this. You can read all of this. And then it goes into detail about who they are. But that's not why I'm reading this article. I'm reading the article because at the very end of this article, the editor has a comment. And I'm going to read part of this. Follow the WEF trail to Switzerland and discover that I'm putting this in, how the Luciferian Khazarian mafia hiding behind Klaus Schwab and his cohorts. The U.S. and its people have nothing to do with the disasters caused to ordinary people on Earth. This is the group of people that started after Sabote Zevi. Basically, they've tried to turn the world completely upside down, and even before this Sabote Zevi guy. It is this Khazarian mob that is presently using the Ukraine as a battlefield to destroy the U.S., the world economy, and human subsidence. The participants get temporary awards, but they must remember. Now listen to this, Austin. The devil shows no gratitude.
No, that's a fact.
When your usefulness is over, you'll be cast into the abyss as a traitor.
That's a fact.
Look at Whitney Houston.
Yeah. Uh-huh. When you no longer have a useful purpose, you're no longer needed.
Look at the girl who basically told Barack Obama was gay and his wife was a tranny.
Oh, that was Joanne Rivers.
Joanne Rivers. Yeah. She got her usefulness just cast into the abyss. And, you know, and people don't realize that when they do this, they get rid of these people, Lucifer does, after they've been used and after they no longer have a benefit to society. I mean, it's sad. This mafia has once again constructed an intricate web whose aim is to destroy the world economy by setting people up against each other, blocking each other's supply chains, and leaving just death and ruins. As a consequence, the world is now facing life-threatening price increases in both electricity and gas. What everyone must be aware of is that it's not a war to prevent Putin from occupying Ukraine, but an attempt by these evil cabalists to control yet another country and their growing new world order. They're simply using Ukraine as a battlefield, and I'm going to add this, to increase their profits of the military-industrial complex, who they also own.
They all own it.
Mm-hmm. Their plan is to totally destroy the world economy and turn the population into slaves. Then he goes on to say, like the Freemasons, they also have life-threatening rules in their membership, one being revenge 10 times harder than was ever perpetrated on him. Now, this is interesting to me. It says that Russia, in particular in the past, has expelled the Luciferian Kabbalah Synagogue of Satan several times. And it talks about in detail how they have done all of this stuff. And, you know, the bottom line is that for people to regain their original moral principles, which have intentionally been watered down, you know, by these Bilderberger groups corrupting our morals by making misbehavior acceptable to society, only in this way shall we conquer the incoming wave of evil. And it's true. What we're doing here is they're trying to turn us into something else with their mRNA shots. Yesterday I had a conversation with a friend, and they had taken that shot.
No way.
And I said, and they asked me, they said, now, what is the reason that they gave us that shot? She said, I was in Chicago, right? And the National Guard was administering the shots. And they had the tanks with them.
It was a military op.
It was a military op in Chicago.
Yeah.
She said, the tanks were in the parking
lot. Oh, yeah.
I mean, tanks.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
there was that one video. They had the APCs. They were like the smaller MRAPs running around in one of the cities. They weren't armored up. As far as they weren't armed up, they didn't have weapons on.
These are Abrams tanks.
Yeah, they probably didn't have any munitions in them, but it doesn't matter. Abrams tank sitting there.
You realize how incredibly intimidating that would be if you're sitting there getting
Abrams? Yeah.
And then the person told me, she said, well, the reality, she goes, I ended up, you know, taking the shot from like a military personnel.
Yeah, you know, the military was expensive.
And she was when Biden became president. Remember what Biden said in the beginning? That he was considering using the National Guard, and he did apparently in Chicago to get these shots. So all of this was a psyop to try to force people to take an mRNA shot to change their DNA. Now think about that for a second. This is unbelievable, Austin, when you think about this. So now this article's right. You know, Lucifer runs the world. The God of this age, that's what they call him. They said he would never have crucified the Son of Glory had he known what he was doing. That's a paraphrase, because he can't reverse that because he's not omnipresent. But the crazy part about all this stuff is when we start seeing these people like the World Economic Forum and this new guy who doesn't even look human telling you that you don't have a right to breathe because you're a carbon unit. You don't have a right to drink water because you basically should be taxed. This is mind-boggling to me that they want to slave human beings to this point and put us back into a feudal system. It really is. We talked about this in depth yesterday.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know this is kind of a, you know, this isn't a real happy, happy story this morning, but the reality is that this is the group that runs the planet. If you understand that and you understand who they are and what they are, you can stand against them. And the way to stand against these entities is you stand against them in prayer.
Now, was she sure they're Abrams or were they Bradleys?
I don't know. She didn't.
They're probably Bradleys because they can actually do a little bit more troop transport on them. The Abrams are big. I mean, those things are just pure warfare. The Bradleys actually can carry people in the backside of them. If you saw that movie, it just came out. It is intense if you're watching the film.
Did the Bradley have a gun turret on and all?
Yeah, okay. The Bradley's got the gun turret on top of them, but they also have basically troop transport in the back. They use them as armored personnel carriers. That's probably what they had there in that film Warfare that just came out. I told you guys, really, really intense. I saw it the other day. It's well done. It's just different than what a lot of people thought it was going to be because it's designed specifically around one situation with the SEALs that were doing Overwatch. But they got the Bradleys in that scene, and those things are still nasty. They drop a whole second story on a building.
Oh, by the way, Trump is to exempt U.S. carmakers from some tariffs.
Really?
He's had so much blowback. Exactly 2 weeks after Trump delayed tariffs on most non-China countries by 90 days, and a week after the president exempt most Chinese consumer electronic exports from U.S. duties, the Financial Times reports that Trump is set to spare carmakers from some of the most erroneous tariffs following intense lobbying by the car industry executives over the last weeks. The move could exempt cars, parts from the tariffs that Trump is imposing on imports from China to counter fentanyl production. This whole thing, that's fentanyl thing, that's just nonsense, okay? As well as those levied on steel and aluminum, a move which Financial Times sources described as destacking of the duties. The exemptions would leave in place the 25% Trump tariff imposed on all imports of foreign-made cars A separate 25% levy on parts would also remain and is due in effect on May the 3rd. Although Washington has already shielded autos from the reciprocal tariffs announced on major trading partners, the U.S. auto companies have in recent weeks pushed for further exemptions. The concessions would mark an initial win for the auto sector. Now, the part here that bothers me more than anything else, because of COVID and what happened during COVID, let's just look at truck prices, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, years ago, I could buy a really nice Lariat Ford diesel for about $35,000.
Well, they got into the 40s. But they were in that range.
Around $35,000. Now they're $100,000.
Yeah, the Lariats now, the Lariat Ultimate packages and all that are pushing like $90,000. Yeah. If you get a Platinum, they're $100,000 now.
Yeah, I was talking to Mike yesterday, and he told me, he said, you know, Ted, used to be if you made $60,000, $70,000 a year, you could live pretty good. He barely covers bills now.
Well, it's interesting. I read an article yesterday, and it said there's no state in the country that essentially you can live off minimum wage and live like in a two-bedroom apartment on your own. Can't do
you
it.
Have to have roommates.
You have to have roommates. As I said, you can't have a two-bedroom apartment and live on minimum wage.
Minimum wage is like $15 an hour now.
Well, some states it's less. But even at that, though, I mean, you start looking at a lot of these apartments now, they're, you know, $2,000, $3,000 a month for a lot of these apartments.
Well, because
which is bizarre to me.
Remember what Kadash Schaub said. He said, you know, by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy.
Yeah. I remember when I was in college in 2006, we lived in a three-bedroom apartment, big apartment over in Lakeland. And I think our rent there was like $1,200, $1,100 a month for a big three-bedroom apartment over there. Yeah. I mean, and then we had all three of us in there. So we split it. So it was like $300, $400 a month. You know, it was nothing.
But not anymore.
Not anymore.
No. And the rent just keeps going up and up and up. And so, again, the bankers and the other people who own these apartments, they find out exactly what the market will be.
Exactly
bear.
Right.
That's what it's called.
They take it to peak that they can get it on.
And then once they start having defaults, they back
they
it
back
down,
it down a little bit. Oh, we're discounting the prices. I told you guys there's a giant subdivision in Orlando, one of the realtor buddies I know told me about. And these guys have jacked up the prices on this subdivision. I'm talking Cracker Box houses, like the ones that Amazon subsidized over here. These houses are like 1,500 square feet, and they're built like something you'd see over like Middle East.
I mean, Bangladesh.
Unbelievably cheap. Single pane windows. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could hear people talking outside like you're talking to them, right? I mean, so cheap. I don't even know how they passed code inspection in Florida in 2025 with hurricanes. And they were listing for like $450,000, $480,000. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly they came and said, oh, we have a lot of inventory here. It's not moving. We're doing a $100,000 price drop on the houses. Dropped down to like $350,000 mm-hmm. that fast. And I thought, that shows you the margins that they're working on those.
Well, you know, years ago, you know, when you were building your house.
Yeah.
We have a friend of ours who's also a builder.
Yep.
And he told us that he would let us build the house for 10% over cost.
Yeah. Remember? He pulled the permits for me.
He pulled the permits and do it 10% over cost. And I remember, you know, then he came back and he said he wasn't going to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And now, this little story here. This is like, just be careful who your friends are. And I'm not saying the guy shouldn't make money. I have no problem with him. Everybody has to make a profit because they got to have a salary. They got to pay the bills. But it was funny because he said he would put the car, the house into a concrete block for you, framing, for I think it was $170,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if you wanted to, you could go ahead and take over the build.
Right.
Remember? And then so we priced the block in the concrete layout. It was like $25,000, $30,000.
Yeah, for just the block.
So he was going to make almost $150,000, $140,000 just laying out
up
the
front.
Block. Up front. And we said, you told you'd give us the stuff at cost. What are your cost numbers? I won't can tell you that anymore. Remember that?
He's like, I'll do 10% over. I was like, well, I said, I'm getting three bids. I'm anywhere from $30,000, $40,000 around here. And I said, 10% over that, where's $160,000 coming from? Well, I don't, you don't even mess with me my numbers. This is the numbers on it.
I don't think I've spoken to him since.
No, I haven't either. I had another buddy that basically ended up helping me with it. He got me through the first phase, and then I took everything over because he was too busy, and so he helped me pull the permits. If you have the ability to ever do that, it's a great option. If you know what you're doing, you can actually get subcontractors. Don't take that project on if you can't. And B, what it'll also do is it'll massively cut down the cost on it. It takes a lot of work because you got to be on the job site with the subs every day and dealing with them, which, I mean, I enjoyed. I didn't mind doing that as I've been in construction when I was younger, but it helps save me an enormous amount of money as far as, because these builders now, they realized in Florida after COVID that there is a massive, massive margin on these houses. And then what they were doing was, I got right at the phase. I got my CO the summer of 2020, finalized it right at the end. And what happened was all the price on all the material was starting to go up during COVID. And I remember I looked at it and I said, dude, I got to buy all, I bought all my material at the very end. I just stockpiled it.
Yeah, you did. I remember.
Right before everything went up.
But I've learned the same thing. I had a contractor who was helping me do an addition on the house years ago, and it was going to be cost plus.
Yeah.
And the problem was that he brought his subs in at some insane number.
Yeah.
No,
they have no incentive to give you a good price or get subs that are given reasonable prices.
Nope. And so I finally told him, I said, all right, we'll do it. We'll play the game with you. I'm going to bring in three subs of my own.
Yeah.
And we're going to go with
all
the best
bid
price.
Off each other.
We'll let them bid off each other. And he goes, well, I don't want to do it that way. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to do it that way. Because he was getting prices that were two and three times as high as the ones that I was getting. I mean, two or three times.
And also understand, it's not always the best idea to go with the lowest bid in construction. That's a fact also. So know who you're working with. And also the biggest thing is look at the background of other houses they've built. If they've built subdivisions, they built custom homes, and they got good reviews, and they're going, yeah, this is my number on it. Go, okay, if they got a great reputation, I got a buddy of mine who's one of the biggest stucco contractors in Florida now.
He does a great job.
He's not the cheapest, but he will tell you 100%, I will guarantee this 100%. If there's any issues at any point in time, pretty much on the life of the property, I'll come and handle it for you, period. And everybody uses him now because he's got such a good reputation. Mm-hmm. Not the cheapest, not the most expensive, but for the best quality. So look at who you're just
for. That's David. Yeah. You're right. He's amazing.
No. I mean, people know him out of state now. They're trying to sub him out in Georgia. Like, I'm not going out of state. I'm going to deal with
In fact, that horrible, horrible thing across the street, the mini warehouses.
Oh, yeah. The giant wall. They said, we're going to put a giant wall around the warehouse.
Stucco all that. And he did a great job.
They said, we're doing basically Central Florida stucco for it. And I said, well, at least I know it's going to look good.
It does. And it looks great.
You'd be surprised. There's some stucco contractors around here.
Ooh, doggy.
Well, you'll see them get done. And it'll look okay for the first year. By the second year in the Florida sun,
it starts cracking.
Spider web cracks in it, separating, falling off. And you're like, well, that was the cheapest bid on stucco.
Oh, by the way, Rob Pugh wrote a great article, and I posted it on the website, Marriage and Family Doing Life Right. And he goes to say, in the work as a Christian newspaper publisher, radio commentator, at TV host, and often having people contact me requesting prayer and counseling, most all who come to prayer and counseling are Christians. They have some various stages of spiritual maturity. Some are baby Christians. Some have been following the Lord for years. And the vast majority of requests I get are for those who are in troubled marriages and families. So today I'd like to talk about marriage and family, and I hope and I pray that you hear and understand what I have to say and put advice into action. It's no secret that the enemy of our souls has been working hard to destroy natural families. One man united to the bonds of holy matrimony to one woman, both faithful to one another, raising godly children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Today, God's natural design for families under intense assault on every level. Satan uses a divide and conquer strategy to destroy the family by getting us to focus on ourselves rather than on serving those we love. Now, I'm going to go ahead and let you read the rest of this stuff because he gives it a really detail. And he says, here's what he says. He goes on one of the chapters, paragraphs, he says, and so we have a generation of the most confused, depressed, and hopeless kids we've ever seen in America.
That's truth.
Often as children are lured away into the LGBTQ cult and transgenderism, violence, self-abuse, and drug use, the parents are at a loss as to what to do. After all, they take them to church every week. They send them to youth group every week. Isn't that enough? Of course it's not. Absolutely not. They face enormous peer pressure in their culture daily. They face unimaginable temptations as the enemy lures them away from God with perverted enticements every turn. They just want to fit in. They just want to be accepted. And the one thing that will assure they are not accepted by their peers is to be godly, righteous young person, knowing right from wrong and standing steadfastly on the side of which is right. How do you spend all these dysfunctional families? How do you train up children the way they should go and that when they're old, they won't depart? We must be real Christian followers and Bible students all of our lives. It begins with us. Now, I'm going to stop here, too, because Rob's got a great article. You guys can finish it. He does a great job explaining and going into detail with this. But I'm here to tell you as a parent that when a child reaches the age of 12 or 13 or 14, it's more the age of accountability, they call it. At that point, they start making their own choices and making their own decisions because of freedom of will. Now, you can do everything you want to do, and I've seen it with families, a lot of families, the Christian families. You can take them to church. You can pray with them. You can have Bible studies. You can do all the things you want with them, and they still have to make their own choices. They still have to make their own decisions. And he's right. The peer pressure that these kids go through is unbelievable. So I always tell them, and I tell my friends to tell their children this, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Am I right, Austin? And so that's the biggest problem that I have, is that a lot of kids are now making decisions on their own, which is what they're going to do no matter what you as a parent are trying to do. Sometimes they make good decisions. Sometimes they make really bad decisions. It doesn't matter how you raise them. I hate to say that, but it doesn't matter. It's the peer pressure that changes these children. Be very, very, very careful. I remember I had a friend of mine, he was in the ministry from years ago, and he wrote some really good articles and had some really good home study courses as far as family and rearing families. And he said he would fly all over the country with his children to make sure their friends were who he wanted them to hang out with, because they had good family and good values with these other children. You get a child who you don't know the child, you don't know the parent that well, and all of a sudden your child goes to their house, and all of a sudden they pull up the pornography. Awesome, am I right?
Yep.
Okay, they pull out the blunt, they pull out the marijuana, they pull out
the vape cartridges. The pink flute vapes.
Yeah, and half the kids now are basically doing vapes. It's ridiculous.
That's what the numbers show. I'd say it's close to 70 to 80%.
No, it's horrible. You see them at the bus stops. They're
everywhere. The problem is it's become a trend now, because it's not so taboo like it was with cigarettes back in the day, where you had to walk around, smoke a cigarette, you smelled like cigarettes, mm-hmm. your breath smelled like cigarettes, your clothes smell like cigarettes when you get home from school. It's like, dude, little Johnny, are you smoking cigarettes? You smell like
you stink.
Now you got these cigarettes that cotton candy, watermelon, peach, and you're like, they don't smell anything.
I had a friend of mine all day. I talked to this person a few weeks ago, and they said that they had basically started when they were younger because it tasted so good.
No, it is. That's why they put the stuff together.
And now they're getting popcorn lung.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's very
no. This is awful. And so parents, the reason I said all that, don't beat yourself up over this. Don't do that. If you do the best you possibly can, that's all you can do. God built Adam and Eve. Look what they did. I mean, that was God doing it, and Adam and Eve did this. Now, hopefully, we'll pray that these children return back to the fold before they die or at some time else in their life. And I'm telling you, throwing money at it won't help. Are you listening to me? I'm just preaching to the choir as much as I am preaching to everybody else listening right now. Throwing money at it won't help, because in some cases, money makes it worse, because it allows them to have the ability to do whatever they want to do with their friends and spend your money by throwing them money. I've got a friend of mine. I got to be careful how I say this. He basically had a child, and the child basically started hanging out with the wrong kids when he was 12 or 13 years old, and hanging out with the theater group and all the guys that were the goth kids. And before it was over with, his best friends are goth, and he's got his black hair, and he's running around, and he's doing drugs. You think, well, how do you know he's doing drugs? Let me finish the story, and we'll know here in a second. And I remember I went to the parent, and I said, I tell you what, we probably need to find a way to get him out of the public school system and into private school or into homeschool, because he's hanging out with the wrong kids. And the parent said, basically, Vero Beach High School was fine for me, it's fine for him. Okay, whatever. And before it's over with, he's got the mohawk haircut, he's covered in piercings. Before it's over with, he's in college. Before it's over with, he basically is covered in, horrible satanic tattoos. And before it's over with, he basically is getting his dad to supply the money he needs to sustain a drug-fueled lifestyle. This is what happens. Finally, the father calls me up and says, I don't know what to do. I've got almost $500,000 invested in this kid as far as, supporting him. He won't, maintain a job, anything else. And I said, your kid's on drugs. No, he's not. He would never do drugs. I'm like, well, if you want to make sure he's not on drugs before you give any money, have him blood tested. Well, the kid wouldn't do it. Well, before it's over, the kid dies of a heroin overdose in his 30s. Happens all the time. Money, throwing money at it, doesn't help anything. Almost bankrupted the dad. And basically, the kid still ended up dying. If you could get that kid into a rehab center, it might help. But guys, listen to me. If you've got these problems with your children, do the best you can. You may have to send them out to a parochial school in high school just to get them away from the bad people they're hanging out with. But that's not guaranteed to help either. Those children still make their own choices all the days of their life. And until they learn to develop fluid reasoning skills and have the ability to see what's going to happen if they make certain choices and hang out with certain people, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. It's not going to help. So always remember, just do the best you can. Like I said yesterday in the show, you got to pray like it's all up to God, and you got to work like it's all up to you. The same thing with your kids. You got to do everything you possibly can to teach them in the way of God and try to take them to church every week. It's so important, guys.
And to add on to that, one of the biggest things that I feel like is lacking in the younger generation right now is the lack of discipline that's being conveyed to the younger generation. Nothing's about discipline anymore, because the truth is discipline ends up having to supersede over everything. You can't be lazy. You can't be sloppy. You can't be unpunctual. You can't be stupid and be continually basically disciplined all the time. You can't do it. It forces you to break habits and do things in a correct manner. And a lot of times now you see this where there's no discipline. A lot of it's because there's enormous distractions.
And we're not talking about spanking now.
I'm not talking about punishment. I'm talking about actual discipline, learning how to work, learning how to take care of things, learning how to
wash a car.
There's something so bizarre to me now in this young generation. A lot of these kids don't even know how to detail a car. They don't know how to do it. The other day, vehicle's dirty. I said, Hunter, we got to go clean it. He said, okay. So I'm funny about the paint sometimes with certain brushes and certain vehicles. So he's stuck on wheel duty. That's great. Get all the wheels, and I want the wheels to be able to eat off of.
Guess where Austin learned all this from?
Yeah, I learned from you. Yeah. If you have a kid that's 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 years old and he doesn't know how to fully detail a car properly, at least to a modest degree, you really need to evaluate that. Because one thing about this, again, it pushes discipline. You can't just go out there, oh, I washed it. It doesn't look like you washed it. It looks like you sprayed it down with water and tried to dry it. Now there's water spots everywhere and there's still dirt everywhere. Once you show kids how to do things properly, then you have to continue to follow through with it. And that's the factor we don't see anymore. These kids want to sit on their phones all day. They want to get their dopamine hit. All they want is cheap dopamine. It's what it is. They want that cheap fix all the time. They don't want to accomplish anything. They're unbelievably entitled. My God. Gosh, they expect everything from everybody.
I remember one time you were doing the car, and I teach you how to dry it. You probably don't remember this.
No, I know exactly what you're about to say. I remember very much. I got mad.
He's maybe 8, 9 years old.
Oh, yeah, but I remember it.
I was teaching him how to dry the car properly, and I said, now, I don't want to see a water droplet on this car.
Yeah.
And I came out, and it's covered in water droplets. I took the water hose.
No, what happened was.
Here we go.
I remember exactly what happened was. I didn't want to mess with drying the roof. The roof was a pain in the butt. So I got the side of the car fairly dried. He comes out there. He looks at the roof, which is he's taller than me. And I thought, I can't see the roof at this height. He's not going to be able to see the roof. Yeah, I didn't factor that in at 8 years old, the height gap. And he goes, why is the roof covered in water? I mean, I didn't dry it at all. It was completely covered in water. And I said, oh, he saw the roof.
This is a true story.
So he goes back out and hoses the car down. He's like, all right, dry it properly. And I was so mad. But then I look back at it later, and I think to myself, you know, those little sloppy things you try as a kid, when you get popped for them and you got to go back, it makes you remember them. Say, you know what? The roof doesn't need to be dried. You don't have water spots, especially down here in Florida, because we have well water.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't dry vehicles properly in Florida, especially if you're on just straight well water, you will have some of the nastiest water spots that become very difficult to get out of the paint. They will actually ruin paint down here in Florida because the calcium will etch into the clear coat.
And so that was one of the little lessons that I taught Austin.
Side note.
So you think, well, that's great. Well, I also taught him how to dig ditches. I taught him how to cut hedges. I taught him how to do sprinkler repair. I mean,
irrigation. You know, we love it.
I remember one time, this is funny. We had a guy named Michael Ferry.
Yep.
This guy was great. He used to ride with the Hells Angels or some other bank biker gang.
Yeah, he was a cool dude, though.
He's a cool dude. He'd gotten saved. And I remember he came to work for me, and he was general maintenance. And I remember we were in a ditch. We had dug a hole. We had a broken sprinkler line.
Yeah.
And he'd been working with me for like 6 months. And I mean, I'm like neck deep, you know. I mean, I'm in the mud.
It was a big break.
Oh, gosh. It was a mess. And you know, that's the problem is when it leaks like that, you got to try to find out where the leak is.
Well, you got to trough all the way around it. It's what happens is all the mud keeps caving in on the lines.
Well, no. So Mike's down there with me, and his hat falls off, and his hair was down to his butt.
Yeah, I remember that.
And his hair falls into the mud.
Yeah.
And I didn't know he had long hair.
Yeah.
I could care less about that.
He always had it in a hat.
I could care less about that. And he looked at me and goes, that could be a problem for you.
Yeah.
And I looked at him. I said, no, but it's your problem. What a mess, man. Now you got to clean that hair.
I don't care.
And he goes, you don't care about what my hair is? I said, why would I care about your hair, man?
Hair, not mine.
And he had red hair. About a week later, he shows back up and his hair is gone. Remember that?
Yeah, he cut it off.
He gave it the locks of love.
Yeah.
And he said to me, he goes, well, if you don't care about my hair, I'm not making a statement at all. He goes, it's a big headache taking care of this. He goes, I can just cut it off. And he kept the cutoff the rest of the time he worked for me. But he was a great guy.
Everybody's got their own styles. Everybody's got their own preferences. That's one thing I learned a long time ago. Trying to go around and dictate what people can't wear, can't do, whatever. As long as it's not affecting me and I don't have to smell it like you're smoking vapes in front of me out of your pink gay flutes, I don't care.
Read this article on Marriage and Family Doing Life Right by Rob Pooh. Excellent, excellent article. What's your next story?
This is an interesting article here. This article is coming up talking about the next bailout. And it says here, it says this is it's from ITM Trading. It says, gold is a seat in a lifeboat. This is from Zero Hedge. This is Lawrence Leopard.
Gold is a seat in a lifeboat.
Yeah.
That's really well said.
I read that. That's why I wanted to cover this. He said, each time these bailouts have gotten bigger. He goes, Bernanke printed $2 to $3 trillion in 3 or 4 years. Powell did $5 trillion in 18 months. This time, it's going to be $7 to $10 trillion for a bailout. The derivatives keep getting bigger. The leverage keeps getting harder. The money keeps getting longer. The debt keeps getting higher. And he's saying that now the next bailout they're going to do, and he goes, it's not just the size of the bailout that's alarming, it's the pace. Leopard doesn't believe this ends with another round of pain and paper promises. What I'm advocating is a one-time reset, a return to sound money, a gold-backed currency's outlook, a hard pivot away from fiat, a revaluation of gold, possibly a price explosion, $5,000 gold, easy, maybe this year. This isn't your typical recession. This is an endgame. And I thought to myself, that's interesting, because he brought up every time we've had one of these meltdowns, 08, 09, this we had a couple trillion. Next one did, you know, 4 or 5 trillion. Next one, now you saw the whole thing with, you know, COVID. Next one, you say it's going to be 7 to 10 trillion. And at that point, what's going to happen is the valuation of the dollar is going to become so bad, and inflation, as far as the value of everything, is going to become so skewed, they're going to have to do some type of revaluation.
Well, the derivatives, you know, are more than 40 to 1. The banks are 40 to 1. So you have $1 million on the deposit, you can loan out $40 million. Just make it up.
That's just fractional reserve banking. Then you got the derivatives on top of that.
Hundreds to 1.
Yeah.
And they never stopped them. They never made them illegal after 2008. Now they're in the thousands of trillions.
And now. Now you're starting to see the housing market start to slow down because the interest rates are too high.
Well, the interest rates should have been raised long ago. If you want to stay in a fiat currency, okay, we pushed it too hard.
The problem is they dumped too much money in the market too fast, caused too much inflation, and then raised the interest rates too quickly. That's what he said here. It wasn't just what happened. It was and it's not the size,
velocity
it's the
of money.
Pace.
Yep,
it's the velocity. It's that it wasn't done over a 10-year period. It was done over like a 2-year period.
And, you know, the sad part about it is, you know, you do what's right. Okay, you pay your bills, you pay your ridiculous taxes, you pay all that stuff, okay? And you go to work, you try to take care of your family, you try to feed everybody, and then they do this to you. This is the Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan, doing that. That's who's doing this.
Money magic.
And what happens is you think, well, I've done everything right, and here I am trying to pay the bills now. This is horrible. You know, and this is where they've put so many of the families.
Well, this
in the
is
United
why
States.
You know he talks about, and you know, the richest man of Babylon and Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar talks all about it. And I talked to everybody that, you know, has been successful in that, and they always told me at a young age that I was reading it, you know, try to take 10% of what you earn right off the top and put it in precious metals. Silver when it was $10-$12 an ounce. Gold when it was like $800-$900 an ounce when I saw it. And I've watched these numbers grow, and then everybody that told me that happened to be right about it.
Well, so like he said, it's a lifeboat.
Same thing with silver. So I think silver is massively undervalued.
Oh, it has been for
$35 an ounce, silver is cheap. And they're pushing that down so much with the shorts because nobody's taking delivery of it. But in my opinion, eventually at some point in time, silver is going to break out. It'll have no choice, especially because it's an industrial metal. It's used. It's not hoarded.
Well, the problem with silver is the bulk of it.
Correct.
Okay, and so the reality
is a large amount.
You know, gold is, you know, an ounce of gold is, you know, over 3,000 an ounce now. You know, you can think of silver as $30 an ounce. So, I mean, so you got to get, you know, 100 ounces of silver to make average 1 ounce of gold.
Which is way off what it used to be on the ratio.
Well, the problem with all that is you got to store it if you want to keep it. And so now people just don't use it like that. They don't take delivery of it because of that.
Right.
Okay, where do you put it?
It's easier to do paper transfers on all the time.
It's easy to do paper transfers. That's why silver hasn't gone through the roof yet.
Yeah.
And so but I've got a friend of mine out in Montana. He has, you know, he really bought silver $2, $3, $4 an ounce.
Yeah.
You know, and he's done very, very well with it.
Yeah.
But he's very, very careful with his money.
Yeah.
And he always I'm not saying you shouldn't live your life and enjoy your life, et cetera, but always keep something in reserve. Always keep something in the background that you, if you have a bad something happens that you can live for at least
and that's
months.
What always somebody, a very, very, you know, wealthy man told me that long time. He said, you know, basically the precious metals, when you store them up over decades or years, they basically help you sleep at night.
Yeah, so what happens that, is you, yeah, you that got, was Henry Mink.
Yeah, you got that yeah. backup, that factor where you don't touch it. And it just sits there, and it slowly grows. It's not a quick flip.
But I don't recommend keeping this stuff at your house, period. Don't do that.
So keep it a safe place, wherever yeah. you find mm-hmm. it to be a safe place. But at the end of the day, it's always that backup reserve, because mm-hmm. a silver eagle, a gold eagle, a 10th gold eagle, all that stuff, at a certain point in time, pretty much, that's why I always like the eagles. I'm not a big fan of bars and all that, because a silver eagle, you could pretty much take that to any coin store anywhere in the entire world. And it's well recognized. You start coming in with some of those bars they have, and they want to drill them and assay them, and it can be. And you don't get the spot value back on them. And so again, because they usually give you melt weight on bars. So again, just do your research on that if you're doing it. But it's slowly but surely. I've seen guys. I talked to guys about 10 years ago. He was doing that. A little bit of silver every single month. Sure enough, eventually, you know, 10 years later, he's got a nice little nest egg of silver sitting there that he doesn't ever touch, and it was, you know, $10-$11 an ounce when he was buying it. Also, too, this is an interesting story, changing gears. Trump tweets out, which is interesting. He's tweeting out what's going on. He said, I'm not happy with the Russian strikes in Kyiv. Apparently, they had multiple strikes last night that killed people. The videos they're playing of it. Not necessary. Very bad timing. Vladimir, stop. 5,000 soldiers a week are dying. Let's get this peace deal done. Now, the thing about this theater that we're seeing here, with Russia, Ukraine, I told you this before, none of this is going to stop until Raytheon and Lockheed have another conflict to engage in. If you guys, you know what, I got this for you guys. Give me this camera here. Raytheon, RTX Corporation, top shareholders of Raytheon. Who would that be? Possibly
BlackRock.
Oh, wait, here we are. Vanguard, State Street, and BlackRock. Top three shareholders, Raytheon. Lockheed Martin. Let's just see Lockheed. You guys are pretty new. Lockheed Martin, it's up today. Let's see. Oh, State Street, Vanguard, and BlackRock. It's circular ownership. They all own the same companies. They all are vested in the same companies, and they know what they need to do to maintain maximum profitability with the military-industrial complex, and they have not deemed it so that the war over there in Ukraine is over yet, and it will not stop until they do. So something just to be aware of. Also, other health news is something, not the greatest transition here. Another article on omega-6 fats, especially canola oil and soybean oil. Those two are the biggest ones to stay away from. A lot of times, I told you guys before, there's one, five guys, they use peanut oil to cook their fries in. That's not ideal. But the thing about it is the research we're seeing now is the soybean oil and the canola oil are the worst as far as inflammatory responses when it comes to the seed oils. And I think one of those reasons is because they're so saturated with glyphosate. Because there's pretty much no way to get soybean oil and canola oil organic. It doesn't exist. It's almost always GMO with glyphosate.
Well, they have to. The only reason they get the product to basically produce like it needs to in the fields, they've got to continually spray it with glyphosate, keep the weeds out of it.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is then you have basically get loaded up with glyphosate when you eat the stuff.
Correct.
So it's very toxic.
And then what they're showing here is the high amounts of omega-6. So when it's cooked in this oil, you remember, if you have something that's got a small amount in it, you know, it's not that big of a factor. What's causing the biggest factor with this is the food that's loaded with it. When it's the first and second ingredient on the ingredients, when you're cooking a whole plate of eggs and it's floating in canola oil or soybean oil. That's why when you go to restaurants now, I always ask them, I need my eggs cooked in butter. Here, I mean, cooked in butter. Okay, we can do that for you. This is a concern is that omega-6 fats and seed oil reduce omega-3 fatty acid levels in the body because they compete for essential omega-3 fatty acids for metabolism.
That's true, because there are only so many receptor sites.
Correct. So it says omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids need enzymes to convert them into fatty molecules critical for bodily function. A diet high in omega-6 interferes with the enzyme conversion of omega-3s into important fatty acids such as DHA. This is why it's really important to make sure you're maintaining high levels of omega-3 fats like cod liver oil, and you're trying to minimize your exposure to omega-6 fats, especially using it in massive cooking troves. That's the biggest factor. Stay away from it.
Well, especially in restaurants and especially in hotels. And the other day I was at a hotel, and I remember I asked to have my eggs cooked in butter.
Yeah.
And they burned them. Because they didn't
a lot
know
of times to, they don't know how to cook
They didn't
butter.
Know how to do it.
No, cooking
Because they were using a Teflon pan using oil. you know, it's like double whammy, right? And I said, I don't want the Teflon pan. I want you to use stainless steel or cast iron or glass.
They don't know how to cook like that.
Well, no. So he, no, he didn't.
It's a different thing.
No, he had to cut. So he makes the first omelet, and it's completely burned.
Scorched.
And I said to him, I said, I'm not going to eat that. Well, then I said, why don't you just take a regular stainless steel pan and put some extra butter in it.
Yeah.
And he did it the second time. It was very good.
But
he had to figure it out. He didn't know how to do it.
Well, see, the thing that he
told me, I've never done this before.
No, the reason why a lot of these chefs like the canola oil and the soybean oil.
It's slippery.
It's super slippery. It's almost impossible to burn. It's got a super high heat point. So you can cook the yik-yak out of the food. You don't have to worry about burning it. And it just slides off the pan with the Teflon and the soybean oil. When you actually have to cook it stainless or cast iron, which cast iron eggs with butter
is the best.
It's the best.
But you got to clean it constantly.
Cast iron's a pain in the
Lie. Maintenance.
And you kind of got to keep it oiled so it doesn't rust on you. This old school, but it's got a flavor to it. Yeah. So anyways.
By the way, we were talking about the Fed a second ago. Let me read you this. This is Donald Trump's quote. And then he is rebutted by David Rothschild. Now, I'm going to have to basically censor David Rothschild's rebuttal. I'll just put beep every time.
Is that much profanity in it?
Oh, yeah. He goes, Donald Trump, the only problem our economy has is the Fed. They don't have a feel for the market. They don't understand necessary trade wars or strong dollars or even Democrat shutdowns over the borders. The Fed is like a powerful golfer who can't score because he has no touch because he can't putt. Okay?
That's the theater.
Here's the response from the Rothschild boy. Just shut the blank up. Seriously, every time the president talks about the Fed, the market tumbles. He needs the market to stabilize to save what is left of his presidency. He's so beep, stupid, he cannot even manage just shutting the beep up and doing nothing.
I have a response on that.
Sometimes people just need to be slapped upside the head.
Well, A, here's the first factor. What Donald Trump said is completely and totally inaccurate. The Fed is not stupid. The boys running the banks are not dumb. They're unbelievably smart when it comes to financial manipulation. This is what you do in psychological warfare in some cases.
Here we go.
You play the dumb card. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't understand the markets. We're just keeping the interest rate up because we feel like it's the best to do. If you really think the financial boys that run the entire global financial system are so dumb, they don't have a feel on the market, and they're just winging things.
They know exactly what they're doing.
They know exactly what the heck they're doing right now. They know exactly how to manipulate it. And one thing he did say, see, what he's doing here is Rothschild is deflecting it. Now he's saying, the reason why the markets keep dropping is because the president runs his mouth. Notice he deflects all responsibility from himself. We don't do anything. We're just managing the finances. We're just the dumb bankers that are just trying to figure it out. He needs to stop. Do the research. He runs the planet and the background and who they are. You'll find out real quick who runs everything.
You know, it's funny. It was funny to me. We were watching that that one. What was that one show? That cartoon thing that you have to watch every once in a while.
South Park.
Oh yeah, South Park.
I don't recommend South Park.
No,
he brings it up and makes it sound like I watch it all the time. I don't watch South Park all the time. They do have some relevant cartoons though.
No, yeah,
like with Randy Savage. I'm transitioning to a woman.
So the guy's sitting there, he's like, he's off world like in a spaceship, and he's looking at the earth, and he goes, nah, I'm gonna have to destroy it. Now he's got this giant nose, and it was a parody. It was actually going against the Jewish folks, and this is what they did, and it was saying the world's not profitable enough.
The world's not making us enough profits anymore. We're gonna blow it up.
We're gonna destroy it. And he's sitting there lighting his cigars with $100 bills.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, wow, that's crazy.
Well, that's what you see all the time. You see us on Market Watch. You see us on these articles. They constantly say, the Fed, they don't have their finger on the market. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
They know exactly what they're doing. They play the dumb card. That is one of the oldest tricks in the book from psych warfare.
And by the way, Trilateral Commissioner Eric Schmidt warns that AI is about to escape human control.
That may be possible.
There we go. You know, consider the source. Eric Schmidt is the heir apparent to the late Henry Kissinger, the mass murderer, who I knew, by the way, who was a founding member who's really a bad dude, he was really evil when he walked around, kind of like drip evil. Who was I felt when I met Kissinger, I felt like I needed to get in the shower and scrub down with Lysol.
Exaggerating?
No, I'm not exaggerating. There's only a couple of people I met on the circuit like that. He was one of them. Larry King wasn't like that. Larry King was pretty cool.
I met Larry King.
Yeah, he was pretty cool. Bill Cosby was a real nightmare.
Charlton Heston was cool.
Yeah, now Bill Cosby was a real nightmare. Yeah. He was unbelievably arrogant. And another, well, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, I'm going to say drop the names exposure, over
but, yeah, but I can say another one. The Robert Shuler, the preacher, absolutely horrible person, unbelievably arrogant.
Yeah.
I've told you stories about him. I can talk about these guys because they're all passed away, but some of them are still alive. I don't want to get involved with all that. Consider the source. Eric Schmidt is the heir apparent to the late Henry Kissinger, who was a founding member of the Trilateral Commission in 1973, along with David Rockefeller and Brzezinski. Personally, I think the AGI is already achieved and will generally be available by the year 2025, as far as this whole AI warning. Artificial intelligence keeps getting smarter and soon warns former Google CEO Eric Schmidt it won't take orders from us anymore.
There you go.
During a talk at a recent summit co-hosted by Schmidt's think tank, why don't they just unplug it right now while they still can? Just thought I'd mention that. The Special Competitive Studies Project, the former Google head, predicted that within 3 to 5 years, researchers will crack the case and so-called artificial general intelligence or human-level AI. After that, Schmidt suggested all bets are off. Once AI begins to self-improve and learn how to plan, the tech policy mogul said, it essentially won't have to listen to us anymore. At that stage, he continued, AI will not only be smarter than humans, but it will also reach what is known as artificial intelligence, ASI, which occurs when AI becomes smarter than all humans put together. Now, I'm going to go ahead and let you read through this one yourself. I've got it posted, but I tell you what, there's a lot of truth to that. And remember now, when they talk about AI, they talk about, you know, they talk to like the D-Wave computer, when they said that when you stand in front of it, it's like standing before the altar of an alien god. That was by the creator. And when they ask him how it worked at absolute zero and how it lines the atoms up, he said, we don't know how it works. Now, let me explain something to you. If you're building a watch, okay, you got to know how it works, or you can't make it function properly. You've got to have the plans. You have to have the blueprints. But what he's saying is this came from another dimension on how to make this thing happen, and we don't know how it works. And what it's going to be, it's going to be an interface into Lucifer's lair. I've told you this before, and I haven't changed my mind on it. That's what AI is going to do. It's going to allow you to breach the gap into the other dimension, into the other realm, on the other side of the antimatter tether. Is what it's going to do. And it's going to allow that entity, Lucifer, to become omnipresent on our planet, and that he'll be able to affect everybody through chips and through quantum computing, through AI, through Wi-Fi, through all of the rest of this stuff. Very, very important that we understand this is not going to be a joke, Austin. And that's why we've got to realize this is exactly what happened in Genesis 6, where every thought of every man was evil all the time. Lucifer can't do that on his own because he's not omnipresent unless he's able to do this. Now we're seeing these pyramids with massive pools of mercury underneath them as far as generating an energy field underneath them. And we're starting to realize that there was an energy field around the entire planet in the times of Noah, allowing every thought to be evil all the time. They want to go back to their old world order, Austin. That's what they want.
No, that's exactly right. And that's one of the biggest things that we're talking about on a regular basis is maintaining, you know, the overall health of you, your family, your friends, and your local areas is one of the most effective ways you can actually try to fight back against this. Because there's some stuff that you're not going to be able to control. You know, none of us are going to be able to come down and basically stop, you know, the war in Ukraine or stop the military-industrial complex. At this point, everything has gotten so out of control and so big with these groups.
Well, it's not out of control.
That's
it's very controlled.
It's out of our control.
Very planned out.
Yes, yeah. It's very planned. And that's like what I was saying earlier, when they constantly put forward these ridiculous stories. Basically, oh no, we're gonna go in now. We're gonna basically discuss and address the fact that we need to, you know, the Federal Reserve doesn't know what they're doing. They're not active enough on this. They don't have their finger on what's happening. They know exactly what's going on. And so again, be aware of that. Also, one of the most effective things you do is understand the theater and make sure you're not getting played by a lot of this nonsense in the mainstream media and keeping your body and your immune system strong. That's one of the best things to do, because if you're strong, you're healthy, you're smart, you're acute, you have a lot more ability to stay on top of things and get the truth out there.
And N-acetylcysteine is our product of the week. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't bring a bottle with me. I had one over the house.
It just showed up for a second.
Yeah,
there
I had it up there. That's the the support formula helps out with detoxification for environmental toxins and pollutants. Really helps detoxify the liver.
Huge sale.
Was enormously effective product during COVID because we found that it really actually helps protect the lung tissue in the body. It serves an antioxidant activity as well and supports healthy respiratory function. And this was also part of the kit that I put together last year, the healthy detox kit for anybody that, you know, having a little too much eggnog during Christmas. And acetylcysteine and the liver support really stack well, getting your body clean back out and back on track, because you got to keep the liver cleaned out. You got to keep the kidneys cleaned out.
You absolutely do. By the way, China is expelling missionaries now, treating Christianity as an existential threat to their way of life. Wow. China is effectively actively forcing all religious activity to align with Chinese culture and communism, ensuring loyalty to the CPCP, which is the Communist Chinese Party. Remember, this happened in Russia. You know, when they came into the Russian Revolution, and I talked about this several years ago, they didn't know how to handle Russia because the Russian Orthodox Church was so powerful.
Yeah.
So they ended up killing 40,000 priests. They killed a whole bunch of people in their congregation. They ended up killing 60 million people. You say, well, Hitler killed a lot of people. Hitler didn't kill diddly squat compared to what Russia did with Stalin and Lenin. That was what they did to Russia was unbelievable. Because remember, Russia back in 1812 had basically helped bail out a whole bunch of countries in Europe when they're trying to put a Rothschild banking cartel central bank in Europe. And the Rothschilds and this group of Khazarian Luciferian Synagogue of Satan guys swore a blood oath against the royal family of Russia. And sure enough, in the early 1900s, they bayoneted and machine gunned them all. Killed them all. And they went about and killed 60 million people in Russia. Some people say 100 million people. And what happened is they could never get Christianity totally out of Russia. And then sooner or later, within 50 years, you know, the Soviet Union fell. It basically became, it couldn't even feed itself anymore. And so it was done. So they went into China. Now, China didn't have Christianity like they had in Russia. They didn't have that. So it was a lot easier to go in and force the Chinese because they didn't have hope in God. They didn't have hope in their creator. They weren't taught who Jesus was properly. So the missionaries went in there, and now they're expelling the missionaries because they don't want to give them hope. That's the main reason they're doing this, by the way. The week is significant for Christians worldwide as we commemorate, Easter Sunday. However, the Chinese have announced new regulations that will severely restrict foreign missionaries in China starting May the 1st, citing the need to combat extremism, which is the truth about Christianity, and protect national security. These measures threaten religious freedoms. Under the new regulation, foreign ministries must obtain government approval for lectures, sermons, and group activities. Isn't that unbelievable, Austin? It says facing
wild.
A burdensome application process that details the time, date, location, and attendees.
There you go.
Additionally,
permission.
Additionally, the regulation includes a comprehensive set of restrictions that prohibit foreign missionaries from engaging in activities such as recruiting religious believers among Chinese citizens. In other words, you can't proselytize. And appointing religious clergy without permission, organizing and carrying out religious education and training, and accepting religious donations from Chinese organizations and citizens, and producing, distributing, and selling religious material. In other words, they want to completely wipe Christianity out of China, and they're pushing it right now. And it's sad to me because, you know, here we are, you know, bringing in so many imports out of China,
oh, yeah,
supporting this communist government. So for that fact, I'm glad the tariffs are there, and hopefully it's going to tighten China up and make them realize they can't treat people like this. But remember, the Rothschild banking cartel has a central bank in China,
oh, yeah,
and they control China,
well,
period.
China, if you look at it, China's been the template for a lot of the programs for overall control of the human body, the human mind, everything.
All the research.
What they
cloning
done,
people.
Well, with cloning people, also too, with going and doing the social credit score. You say this, your credit score goes down. You hang out this person, your credit score goes down. You don't do what we tell you to do, your credit score goes down. You want to talk about mind control manipulation.
Well, pretty soon you can't even take a bus. You can't take
no,
a train.
You
can't take a plane.
I mean, I brought
it up. You're on a bicycle.
I brought up a show a year and a half ago. They had said, I think 60,000 people at some point that year had been declined from being able to fly now. 60,000 people were banned from flying because their social credit score dropped below a threshold. You know, you drop below a 500 beacon score over there. All of a sudden, you're like, no.
Pure Satanism.
Yeah, that's what it is. Right. It's all about dictatorial control over what people say, do, think. Because eventually, remember, you do that long enough, people will begin to self-censor. When people self-censor, they will actually start to think a different way because you can no longer function because you can't say certain things, you can't do certain things. You have to reprogram your mind on how you actually think, and eventually you go, oh, yes, China's all-powerful government.
It was like the tourists in that park that I talked about.
It only takes about
tourists,
two to three generations of that, and eventually the younger generation finally reaches the point they don't know anything different than what they've been taught, and it's pure tyranny.
Well, you know, what did you know, they say, if you just give me a generation of youth, I'll change the country. Yeah, it's true. If you make them so they won't think, they won't do, they won't act, they won't say anything outside of what the government says they can, after a couple of generations of that, they simply don't know how to do it anymore. Yeah. They don't have the ability to have concrete, rational thought. They can't question the narrative.
That's exactly right.
You know, you were talking about something earlier, and you were talking about how if you don't have discipline in a child, and I'm not talking about spanking, I'm talking about teaching them how to make their bed, wash their car, et cetera. If you don't have that, you don't teach that child how to be productive.
Correct.
I remember my mom, you know, she'd come out of Germany after World War II, and I remember it was always, you have to be on time.
Yes.
You have to pay your bills. You have to tell the truth. And all these little things that you think about that she did and she pushed, you think, well, I can't believe she's telling me that. Of course, everybody already knows that. But they don't know that,
Austin. Right, exactly right.
They don't know how to do that. They don't know how to work. They don't know how to do anything until they're forced to do it. Nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to dig a ditch.
No.
But if you learn how to dig a ditch properly.
So appreciate you guys. If you need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, Team Health Masters. If you want to keep the kids strong and healthy, make sure you're jumping on the kit that we have here with the multiple chewable, the cod liver oil, on sale right now. Y'all have a blessed, safe, awesome evening, my friends. And we'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always.
Love you guys so much. Got an opportunity to pray for you again last night. I appreciate your prayers towards us. And thank you for your support of Health Masters. If you weren't here for us, we couldn't be here for you. I love having a reciprocal relationship with you guys. I appreciate you so much. Thank you, guys. We'll be right back.